Ephesians chapter 5, as we continue our study. Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives. And you all do, right? Amen, we do. Hopefully this message, you know, and I was talking with Beth. This is much easier for me to preach from the men's perspective because I am a man. I know my failures. And as I read and study this, you understand I'm preaching it to me. And have preached it to me and will continue to preach it to me because it's actually very convicting in that as I look at how I've loved Beth through the years, there are times when I've just utterly failed. And hopefully grown from those times. But men, just so you know, I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm throwing stones at all of us. Okay? Because we all can do better. Today, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 25. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God and see what God says about what a husband or how a husband should love his wife. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband." Our Father in heaven, we ask for your guidance today and pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you will speak to us. Lord, convict us of our sins. Draw us to you. Help us to repent of those sins and love our wives in the same manner that you have loved the church. Father, this service belongs to you. I pray that you glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is actually going to be a two-part message out of necessity because there's no way I can preach all this today. I'm going to preach, well, the plan is to preach half of it today and half the other half tonight. So if you want the whole message, please come back. If you don't like what you get this morning, don't want any more of it, I understand, okay? But what our focus today is on one little word. That little word is love. And in the Bible there, the word love is basically used four different ways. It's translated from four different Greek words, is what I'm saying. And, you know, one of those translations or one of those Greek words is eros. And that's translated love. And that's a sensual, romantic kind of love. That's not what we're talking about. Even though it is good to be romantic with your wife, right? Another kind of love is phileo. That's a brotherly or a friendship kind of love. Another love is storge, which is a family type love, like you would love your brother or your sister or your mother. But the love that's used in the text today is a very special word. It is agape. And you've heard, I know, of agape love, but men, as we consider this command that we're to love our wives, we're to love them with an agape, sacrificial, unconditional, deepest kind of love that you can possibly have for your wife. The first thing I want to share with you is that this kind of love, agape love, is always proven. As a matter of fact, that's what the word literally means. When he says, husbands, love your wives, that word love, you could translate it, prove your love or demonstrate your love. Let your love show. As Jesus did for his church, as a matter of fact, Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as we look at that kind of love, that's the love that husbands, you are commanded to have for your wife. A love that is obvious, a love that demonstrates itself on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5:8, that's the idea when it says, but God demonstrates his love. That word demonstrates is in the present tense in the Greek, which means wherever you are, it's always happening. Right? That means you're not just demonstrating your love today. You don't just go buy her flowers today and that gets you off the hook for the next month. You don't say, I love you today, and you don't have to tell her that again for the next 2 months. No. This kind of love that we're talking about is a demonstrated love every day, no matter where you are or what's going on or even how you feel. That's the kind of love that Jesus Christ has for His church. And the first thing we've got to do, men, to have that kind of love is we have to know our wives. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Look there with me. Or look up here, either way. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, and he's talking about your wives, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I want to call your attention to some specifics of this verse. We're told to dwell with them with understanding. That word understanding, it doesn't just mean understand, or it's a higher knowledge of someone. It's that you don't just know her, you know how she thinks. You know how she responds. You know what she likes. You know what she doesn't like. You know what you can say, and you know what you better not say. It's that kind of knowledge. You know, Beth and I will celebrate 40 years this year, and we're at the point, she most of the time does not even have to ask me. She already knows what I'm going to say or if I want to do something. You know, she already knows. But I'm supposed to be the same way. I'm supposed to know her likes and her dislikes. I'm supposed to have a very intimate knowledge of who she is and what she needs. So that's our first requirement. Guys, we got to know them. We got to know them. And that requires your attention. Not only do we know them, we treat them as the weaker vessel. Now, that word weak, it doesn't mean without strength, because be honest with you, most of the women here are a lot stronger than you guys. I've watched them, and sometimes women are amazing at what they can keep doing and doing and doing. And we guys, we'll quit. We get to that point, that's enough, I quit. Women don't quit. But this word weak, it means to be delicate. And easily damaged. So, guys, not only do you know them, but you protect them with everything that you are. She is your life, guys. And you don't let somebody run your wife down. You don't let the world attack her. When she's hurting, you hurt. When she's happy, you be happy. Whatever she needs, you treat her. You be the savior of her life in this life. Now, I'm not talking about you're not replacing Jesus. But you're always taking care of her. I mean, guys, isn't that what we deep down want to do? That's who we are. Men are supposed to be caretakers. We're supposed to be men. We're living in an age where, it's kind of being discouraged to be a man. But I still believe we're supposed to be the protector. We're supposed to be the provider. We're supposed to treat our wife as though she was a precious, delicate treasure. That's what he's saying here. Know her. Treat her in a manner which she cannot be damaged, and honor her. That word honor, it means to value her. You know what? Ladies want to be valued. They want to know that you know that you cannot, nor do you even want to try to live without them. It's your responsibility, guys, to make her feel like she is the treasure of your life, because she is, if you are going to love her with a godly love. You say, Brother Doug, sometimes I don't feel like all that. It don't matter how you feel. It's not, the feeling's not here. We think love is a feeling. No, love is a choice. You choose to love, and I'll give you some insight in that. If you choose to love, what you will discover is after you choose to love, you will start feeling more and more of that love. That's how it works. You know that love at first sight? Yeah. But here's the vital part of it, guys. You treat her this way. You know her. You treat her delicately, like she's the queen. And honor her, value her, so that what? Your prayers be not hindered. If you do not treat her this way, don't think God's sitting up in heaven saying, okay, come on, pray, I'll take it up. He's saying, come on, you can't even treat your wife right. That's what he said. You can't have a good spiritual, and let me give this to you straight. Everybody here, you got to know this. You cannot have a good spiritual life when your marriage is wrong. Can't. You can't be at odds with your wife and be right with God at the same time. So it's important that you take this perspective. Understanding this is what God expects of us men. This is what it means to be a man. We start with knowing our wives. Then we go on to showing our wives. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Do y'all know what love is, men? What we're going to do is we're going to go through this list and we're going to tell you what love is and what it looks like. Okay? Because this is the Bible definition, basically, of love. In verse 4, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's the biblical definition of what agape love is and looks like. Okay? We go back to verse 4 where we started there. Can we run that back to verse 4? Love suffers long. Are you ready? That means to be slow to anger. You have no right, men, to live on the edge of anger outburst at any time. Right? Your wife deserves better than that. Give it to her. You're not to, you know, you're not to be this guy that's the king of the castle. You're to be the lover of the castle. You're to be the guy that even when your wife does not act like you think she should act or like you want her to act, you're not the guy that jumps into her with both feet. You're the guy that loves her anyway. Women, ladies, I can't ask the men this, but I'm going to ask y'all this, right? I bet y'all do some things that drives your husband nuts, don't you? How does he respond? How does he respond? Guys, how do you respond? I mean, let's face it, I don't care who you are, you put two people together, there's going to be some rubbing the wrong way somewhere. Let me tell you, I am a believer that I never have the right to raise my voice to that lady right there. Never. Because she doesn't need to hear that. When I raise my voice, I say things I shouldn't say. I do things I shouldn't do. I act in a manner that's not who I am in the Lord Jesus. You see, the fact of the matter is, if you're married, you're gonna fight. Yeah, come on, let's go. Because you're gonna disagree, but you gotta know how to fight. Right? You gotta know how. If we disagree, the last thing I wanna do is hurt her. I'm not saying that I don't do that sometimes, okay? But if we disagree, I'm not going to yell at her. I'm not going to say, well, whatever you want, but this is what we're doing. No. Because she deserves better than that. And that kind of attitude is not agape love. You got to ask yourself the question, what did God do to you the last time you failed? He didn't sit up in heaven and say, I'm going to take your head off. He didn't sit up in heaven and say, I'm God, what in the world are you thinking? He's up in heaven and He draws you back to Him. He says, come unto me. Let me help you. Yeah, let's get you out of this. You messed up. See, that's always the kind of God's love, the kind of God love. And even when God, when God carries us to the woodshed, so to speak, you still know He does it out of a heart of love, right? Love suffers long. Love is kind, gentle. The idea is no retaliation. You see, there's too many marriages who, well, she did this, so I'm going to do that. And I did this, and so she's going to do that. And the first thing you know, it becomes tit for tat, and you can't get through a day without a big fuss. No, that's not a marriage love. That's not a God love. The kind of love that we're talking about is kind and not envious. It does not envy. You know what that, have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm the only one giving in this marriage? I'm giving more than they're giving. You know, why does it always have to be me that gives? Why are you being envious? Didn't you marry one another to give yourself to one another? Yes, to become one flesh. And the reality is, if we're one flesh, I cannot do something for Beth that I don't benefit from. That's the idea. Love is not envious. It does not parade itself. Brag goes right along with, is not puffed up, arrogance. You ever seen men, husbands who were arrogant? Have you ever, you know, gone through this little thing with your wife, and you know you're right and you're not budging? You know what that is? That's pride and arrogance. There are people, and listen to me closely, there are people today who would rather be right than be married. I'm going to say that again. There are people today who would rather be right than be married. And by that, I'm not talking about in some sin. I'm not. Okay? I'm talking about this is what I think is right, so this is the way it is. And they can never resolve anything because I'm going to be right. Are you kidding me? That's not a marriage. That's a dictatorship. You're never given godly authority to reign over your wife. You're given responsibility to love her and to display that. And ladies, especially young ladies, listen up. If the guy that you're about to marry or the guy that you're looking for does not have these qualities, kick him out the door. Don't go there. Don't say, oh, I'll marry him and he'll change after I marry him. No, he won't. He may change, but I promise you this, it'll take 30, 40, 50 years. Honestly, I think young ladies should raise their standards today. And have a idea of the kind of man they want to be their husband and not settle for less. A godly man, a loving man, a man who knows how to control his temper, a man who does not try to lord over her, but rather tries to always do good for her. See, love is not pride and arrogance. Love's not even rude. Go to verse 5. Does not behave rudely. Gentlemen, are you ever rude to your wives? I want to tell you something. Guys, words hurt. I want to give you some insight, right? You and I, if we're two men, we can get into it and we can disagree and man, you know, we can just have a knockdown drag out. And 30 minutes after that knockdown drag out, we're going to look at one another and say, are we good? Yeah, buddy, we're good. High five. Let's go. Women are not that way. Your words hurt. And they will remember what you said today for the next 20 minutes. 30, 40 years. They will remind you of it. So why say it? Well, it just needs to be said. Does it? Does it help her? Does it build her up? Does it strengthen your marriage relationship? If it does not do any of those things, likely as not, you need to keep it to yourself. Words hurt. Words scar. Don't be rude. Love does not seek its own. Guys, your marriage is not about you. Your marriage is about God. And then it's about your wife. And then it's about your kids. And then you might take a place of fourth, fifth, or whatever in the line. But I want to tell you, the most miserable times in my life are the times that I've been living for myself. And the same will be true for you. Does not seek his own is is not provoked, easily upset. You know, there are wives, and I knew this. There was a sweetest, when I was pastor in Mississippi. This lady's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she was the sweetest lady. But she had a husband that wasn't worth the powder it took to blow him away. And I say that in Christian love. But this old dude, he didn't like her going to church. He looked me in the eye. He was dying with cancer. He looked me in the eye and says, I didn't have need for church stuff when I was living. I don't have a need for it now. Okay, buddy. Pretty sure he's in hell today. But she would go to church, and he didn't want her to go. He'd lock her out of the house. Sunday night, if she wasn't back, if he thought church ran too long, he'd lock her out of the house. And more than once, she slept in the car. It's Miss Yuda. You know. Guys, that's not who we're supposed to be. If you can't love your wife, you shouldn't have married her. And if you're already married her, then husbands, do your job and love her. Love her. Love's not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, which is basically to disregard what's right. Have you ever said, I know what I should do, but I'm not going to do it? There you go. Guys, that's not love. But love rejoices in truth. Advice, guys, don't lie to your wife. Because you can't remember that line long enough to keep it going, and she will. She'll catch you in it. Be truthful. Be straightforward up front. Love bears all things. Watch that phrase in the marriage vows, till death do us part. That's love. That even though she may be imperfect, and I realize y'all ladies, you have very few imperfections, I understand that, but she may be imperfect, but you took an oath before God, till death do you part. She may have her ways that you don't like, but you said, till death do you part. So love her through it. See, that's what marriage is. And if you don't go through those battles and learn how to love in spite of the imperfections, whether you're husband or wife, if you don't deal with that along the way, you'll never have peace in your life. You'll never have stability in your life, and you'll never have a marriage that works. Marriage bears all things. Marriage believes all things. That's the idea there, it's faithful in all things. Listen, faithful in all things, it's not just, I'm not going to commit adultery faithful, even though that would be included, but the idea there is that you're faithful in all things for her good, for her benefits. That everything you do for her. Endures all things. See, that's the last one in this list, and it reminds you, this is love. And we as God's people, and more specific, we as men of God, have to take our stand on this is how I'm going to love. Right? Because that's what love is. Love's not just a feeling. Feelings pass, right? Love is a choice. It's a verb used most cases in the Bible. Now, guys, I want you to think with me for a minute. As you look at this list, how are you doing? Is it love? How are you doing? You see, let's be honest. Well, yeah, you know, Brother Doug, I do the best I can. No, go down the list. How are you doing? See, that's what I had to do this week. Didn't really like my score. Well, Brother, yeah, that's all Bible stuff. But, you know, I love her. I love her. She knows I love her. I told her when we got married I love her. And if something changes, I'll let her know. Guys, if this stuff is not present in your marriage relationship, if this is not the kind of love that you have and are showing for your wife, go back to verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and with angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let me interpret that for you. If you don't have the things in verses 4 through 8, you're a big old blowhard. It's all talk. And it means nothing. I don't even know if we're going to finish it tonight or not now. But guys, I hope this has opened your eyes. Because I want to tell you the way I am personally. You know, it's easy for me to just slide through life and best not mad. Life's good. Not worry about anything. More is required of us as men. We're not here to slide through life. We're here to love our wives with a love that they cannot deny, that they never question. Does he really love me? Oh yeah, he loves me because he shows it every day. If you're going to build a marriage, guys, this is how you do it. Again, I've done a lot of marriage counseling through the years, and always hear the he did, she did, he said, she said. And the bottom line to all that junk is this: they're not doing it. Somebody in the marriage is not loving in the biblical manner. And so things are falling apart. Now let me ask you. If you're having little difficulties in marriage, and I don't care what marriage it is, we've all had our ups and downs, right? Come on, guys, amen. There's been good times in any marriage. There's been some not so good times in any marriage, amen. But we wade through them. We fight through them. We work through them. But let me ask you this. If you're going to be married, and God created marriage, why would you not do it God's way so that marriage would be successful? Doesn't that make sense? It's kind of like reading the owner's manual. Do you ever buy something, bring it home, tear it open and start putting that thing together and get halfway through it and you think, uh-oh, I don't have enough parts, or I've got too many parts, or something's not working. Then you get out the owner's manual. You know, most people look at, oh, I can do this. I don't need the owner's manual. I'm good. How hard can it be?
And then you finish the project and got extra parts. And you just know that's not good. Folks, read the manual. Not only read the manual, do what the manual says. That's the Word of God. You want a healthy marriage? Right here. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I've pointed the message toward the men today because it was right. But ladies, you got to ask yourself, this is not just, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not just for the men, it's for all of us. We got to ask ourselves, is this the way I'm loving? And if it's not, hey, read the book and go back and start doing it God's way. What you'll discover is God knew what He was talking about. And it'll work. You may be here today and most importantly, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have nothing to build on. You have no foundation to build on. Listen, you can't be a good husband until you know what true love is. And you'll never know what true love is until you experience the love of Jesus Christ that took Him to the cross of Calvary where He gave His life as a sacrifice to pay for your sin, to take your punishment. And He died for you so that you could have everlasting life. See? That's what it means when it said, for God so loved the world that He gave. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He gave. God's shown us what true love is. Thing is, you have to accept love. You've got to receive love. Today I ask you, will you receive the love of God in the form of Jesus Christ? Will you come to Him for salvation? Ask Him to be your Savior, forgive you of your sins, and commit your life to Him, and then start building a life. Build a marriage based on love. Build a life based upon the owner's manual. Whatever your spiritual need is today, will you let God have His way? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Father, we're reminded today, sometimes we try to love in selfishness and love because we get love and love because of what somebody does for us. Lord, we mess up that word so often. And today we're reminded of Your love, of Your example, of the sacrificial agape love that You have had for us. And now, Lord, we're reminded of the need for that kind of love in our marriage. Father, I pray today that if there is one or two or five or 20 who are here today who does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today they will accept Your great love. Father, Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.